This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even after the first period, we just talked about our five-on-five play, the discipline of taking the emotion down one tone, and we felt we could outskate him, outplay him, and I thought our guys did a great job of that. I mean, nobody's happy with only getting the 1 point, but the fact we were able to come back and do what we did, you know, just tells me they're invested in trying to win a game that, you know, when you're down three, it's usually pretty tough to come back.
Lindy Ruff this morning on WGR, the Sabres host the Sharks tonight. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. They are, after these last three losses, especially now, staring at a 14th consecutive non-playoff season, which is by far the record in the NHL. And because it's hockey, I want to also point out, none of those seasons was canceled.
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe you could have gotten away with a couple there because seasons were canceled.
There is one in there that's only like half a year, though. Like 13, they didn't start until like January or February, I think.
That should have helped them.
No, they didn't.
If you're an underdog, you want a shorter season.
Yeah.
You want a one-game playoff if you can have it.
What year was that? Was that 12, 13, I think, is what I have in my head.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Anyway.
There was also, like, so last night I counted up just manually every team's number of playoff games since the Sabres last. It's on X, as Bulldog calls it. The list is topped by the Tampa Bay Lightning with 142. Mentioned the Leafs already today. I've got the number. A team comes up, I might just shout out the number. keeping it on my 64. Toronto's had 64 playoff games since the Sabres last. I don't know who is like the one team with their number that is just like the biggest eye roll. Maybe it's the Islanders for me at 84.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders have had 84 playoff games, 84 days and nights where you just couldn't even sit down because you were so excited for the game and built
they,
your lives
and
around
they
them.
Have they ever been really good during any of that? No.
No.
You would have never gone into a playoff year. Surely somebody bet on them, but you would have never gone into a playoff year talking about the contest. Who could win the cup? Are there five, six teams that could win the cup? The Islanders have never been one of those, yet they've played 84 playoff games since the Sabres last were in the playoffs.
One more than tonight's opponent, the Sharks at 83. There's also something called the round robin in the COVID year, where teams sort of played their way in. They played each other and mm-hmm. played their way into the playoffs. The Sabres did not participate in that.
They missed out on that by a single point to the Montreal Canadiens, who they were playing in the game that was the next game, that it was the first game that got canceled.
Right. So the round robin, I don't think they technically count that as postseason, but I'm not sure.
Oh, so those games aren't.
Those games are not included. Yeah. Somebody's going, oh, yeah. Not really. This is a very much a straw man thing I'm about to say. Somebody's going, oh, yeah, sure, but you included the round. He did not. He did not include the round robin. It's complete. Everything is playoffs, real playoffs.
Montreal ended up with a pile of regular playoff games that year because they went all the way to the final, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
It's like Carey Price's last stand.
Okay, and they were in the Canadian division, maybe?
Right.
Wasn't there a Canadian division? But that had to help. 72 Montreal playoff games. Have they ever been good this whole time?
No.
72.
But they made the final. I mean, they could have won the cup. So, I mean, I don't know. They had a good year that year, but
ultimately,
it was pretty shocking that they made it that far, I think.
Yeah. What's shocking is the zero. I'm not mad. I'm amazed. I just cannot believe this was possible. I really can't believe this was possible for any franchise in that league. And I would have said that, I'm sure I did, 5 years ago or more. How do you go 10 years in hockey without a playoff? How do you do it? Like, Luukkonen, right? So it's just how, it's just Sabres life. They get Levi for Reinhardt in that trade, and everybody's excited about him. He goes to another college season, and he's again the best goalie in the sport, correct? Like, he backed up his status with another great season in college hockey. And then, well, maybe the Sabres will just sort of turn to him. Seems risky. Maybe they will do that. Maybe he's a prodigy. Maybe he's Tom Barrasso. Like, maybe he's just a prod. Has the show ever sounded older than that? So we'll see. And he wasn't above being a kid thrown into the NHL. He was not better than that. So they worked that. It took a while. Then they get to Luukkonen, who maybe surprised them with an outstanding season.
I think they were organizationally prepared for Levi to pass Luukkonen like he was a broken down car on the side of the road.
So Luukkonen was kind of like, you know, maybe he should have been traded. We talked about that a few times. I liked that idea. I thought there might have been interest in him, his being so young. And you've got somebody else now. You signed a veteran, whatever. I make it sound so easy, right? So instead, Luukkonen rises up and has a great year and gets a contract. And now what? And now he's back to .890 or whatever, and goalies, right? You know, shucks.
Yeah.
That's, and Levi's doing well, but you know, you kind of have Luukkonen locked in here. Maybe not, but.
So you definitely have him under contract.
You have him,
but,
right.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
I'm not sure he just has to play forever.
No, that's right. No, I think if Levi showed up in the fall and outperformed him, I don't have any trouble making that switch. I mean, I don't even have to move Luukkonen. He's not going to love it, but you know, if the time is right, and maybe it will be by next fall, I don't know. I'm not at all put out by Levi's struggles at the NHL level and these intermittent opportunities that he's gotten. I think the track he's been on here since he got to Rochester full time, even going back to last year when he went down for the end of the year and all through this year, has been exactly what they should have done with him from the start. That doesn't mean it's going to work, but I would not take what he's looked like in the NHL as like, oh, he can't do it.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
it's way too early for that.
Me neither. Let's go to Paul here. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Interesting line of thought that I don't want to go down like the meta picture because it's so terrible. So for the rest of the season, I just hyper-focus on Dahlin because he is incredible. His stat line last night is a stat line no other defenseman in the world can create. 25 and a half minutes on the ice, plus two, three minor penalties, a goal, a block shot, and a handful of hits, and some dirty hits, too. He physically imposed his will all over that game. He was boiling to have a fight. I am surprised one didn't break out that he was in. But that hit where he did get penalized, he hit a guy from behind into the goalposts, and you could tell he did it on purpose. And I don't know, personally, I love that stuff. I think he's the Nikita Kucherov of defensemen. He will put 3 points on you and slew-foot you in the same game. I absolutely love watching him play. He does things that the other elite Norris Trophy cabal defensemen named Hughes and Makar just would never think of doing on the ice. He is physically so much more dominant than they are. You know, they skate really fast.
Okay.
And they're great offensively, but I take Dahlin any day.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I mean, I'm glad you like Dahlin that much. I don't know. I'm in here screaming about the penalties in the first period. He's the captain. Like, it's a tight one because what did he look like last night? I think the caller's right. I think he looked like he wanted to fight. He had a chance to drop his gloves and fight somebody and didn't. I mean, you know, if he'd have dropped him, maybe the guy would have dropped him and he would have gotten the fight. So I don't know how badly he wanted it, but he definitely had an edge. But it was overcooked. Like, I'm yelling about 5 minor penalties in the first period. 2 of them were his. And then the penalty he took late in the third period, thank God he got the goal to make up for it. Because, I mean, he could have hurt them. He hurt them in the first period, for sure, and could have killed them at the end. But, again, he made the play to bail them out. So, you know, it cuts both ways. You kind of look the other way and forgive him. The first period, to me, was stark. Like, I, the coach says we need to win this game and we need to be disciplined. And he's blasting guys 10 feet from the puck and barreling Brendan Gallagher into his own goaltender. Okay, your bravado and your machismo can have their moment. Good for you. Was that helpful?
It's complicated. I mean, he's showing his pride.
Right.
I feel with the caller here because I think, you know, Dahlin is probably underrated overall. And I can appreciate all of his talent and pride because that's probably part of what that was last night. I mean, what would it be like? This was Eichel 2. What would it be like to be that good? And you're paid great, you know, it's hopefully a good life. But you are mired on a team that cannot figure out how to even make the playoffs or usually come close. And just how depressing and frustrating, to put it mildly, probably, that would be. I mean, this is legacy stuff. You want your name on the trophy. You're an all-time great if you're drafted somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can also appreciate, I was thinking about this when you were talking in the beginning, like not everybody is miserable going to the arena. Not everybody watches the Sabres in the context of can they ever make the playoffs again? And sort of just like the way you and I tend to be and like, you know, sort of checked out. As you were saying that earlier, and I've taken my turns talking much the same way. Not everybody's like that, and Dahlin gives you, if you love the game, yep. And you're not, you know, you might be somebody that works at finding a way to enjoy it. You could just go to a game and never take your eyes off him. And if you know hockey, you're going to be impressed, and you're going to enjoy that. So that's something. But I just can't. I mean, it's about the team. And Dahlin is not the problem, but they just cannot make it work with even one of the best defensemen in the game that they lucked into because they won a lottery. I mean, they had odds, but still, like, you have to be lucky to. And Eichel and Reinhart were also second overall picks who have been great. I mean, they are great players. And I'm still sitting here just pondering life, right? Like, just what it's been so hard to understand. It's not always hard to understand in sports. The Chicago White Sox are not hard to understand. Like, the Pirates are a better example. The Pirates are not hard to understand. They're just not going to try. Ownership is just not going to try. And I don't know, like, is that this? Does he not try? Is he too involved? He's not too involved financially. And the arena is always another year older.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a new scoreboard this year and a roof.
Don't forget the roof. Right.
But the commitment to the product on the ice has been lacking. And that's not even putting it very strongly.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that Dahlin is far from any kind of a problem for them. But last night wasn't great. The way that started, and I don't know, I just got to say it at least once.
Yeah,
the caller's mentioning Makar and Quinn Hughes. Like, there's not a long list of defensemen who, to me, are better and kind of significantly better than Dahlin. Those are two of them. I mean, just, fine, slew-foot him, take stupid penalties is another way to compliment him for what he did last night. And, you know, but those two cats are... Those guys are playing on special teams when they're playing international tournaments. Dahlin never got off the bench on a penalty kill or a power play during that Four Nations thing. So, you know, that's what Sweden thinks of him. Just saying. Like, he's great, but those two dudes, you could take them over those two guys. You're taking the third best guy out of those three guys. Easily.
803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.